Welcome to the Urshan Pulpit Podcast, a podcast that seeks to elevate the priority and practice of preaching and purposes to provide resources to both inspire and support the apostolic preacher as they faithfully fulfill their calling as a preacher of God's Word. Welcome to the Urshan Pulpit Podcast. My name is Jonathan McClintock.
And I'm Jerry Jones, and we're here to talk about preaching.
In this podcast, we're going to be talking about all aspects of preaching. We're going to interview preachers, apostolic preachers, talk to them about their ideas of preaching. We're going to also be talking about our Urshan Pulpit Conference, which takes place every year in March. In this podcast, we're hoping to be a resource for preachers in all aspects of preaching, whether it be talking about the calling to preach, ideas for study or preparation, delivery, style, you name it, anything to do with preaching, we want to discuss and talk about. We also want to inspire preachers to elevate their commitment to preaching. We believe, obviously, preaching is of utmost importance. So we're going to be talking about all those things and even more, discussing with interviews with great preachers that we'll have gathered around this table with us. We're looking forward to that. We've got some ideas in mind, and we're looking forward to how that develops.
As we go forward, we'll spend a lot of time talking about why preaching matters. We recognize in this day and age that preaching has been under attack, not so much in apostolic circles, but in Christianity as a whole. Preaching is minimized, and it's even described as just one aspect of worship, and that it, in many areas of Christianity, does not play a central role. And of course, we believe that's not biblical. It's certainly not apostolic. So we will be taking some time to talk about what is preaching, why is it important, and what does the Bible have to say about the role of preaching in both the salvific process as well as the worship process.
Well, when we talk about preaching, especially apostolics, we hold high regard, preaching in high regard, as you just was just mentioned just a second ago, that there is a trend in even in the Christian world to diminish preaching. But we take very seriously Paul's words to the Corinthians that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So if God chose preaching to be the avenue or the key to which he delivers his gospel, his good news, then we must make sure to keep preaching at the forefront and not let it get covered up by other things. And people want to order their services in a way that preaching is diminished and preaching's got kind of takes the back seat. And who wants somebody standing up there, one person droning on for a long time talking about whatever they want to talk? Well, we believe that obviously you're not going to drone on and talk about nothing. You're delivering the good news of the gospel and telling people how they can be saved and the plan of salvation. So preaching is of utmost importance.
Absolutely. I think when we talk about the biblical view of preaching, we can't escape that. It is the act of preaching, caruso, the Greek word that's most used for preaching. Some years ago, a big difference was made between the noun form of that Greek word, kerygma. It was usually defined as the gospel. And the verse that you referred to, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. The word there is the noun form, kerygma, to save them that believe. And there were those that dismissed that and simply retranslated that to say it pleased God through the foolishness of the gospel to save them that believe. But that is such a stretch of the use of the Greek language. The noun form is only used like 9 times in the whole New Testament, while the verb form is used over 60 times. And it's almost always caruso, which means the act of preaching. It is preaching that makes the difference. Certainly the subject, the gospel, is what saves, but it's also the preaching of that gospel. And of course, when we preach, Paul says that there's some synergy that happens came not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration and power. Sometimes people lift that away from preaching too, but the subject's preaching, and preaching is demonstration, and preaching is power. While Peter yet spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And so we want to emphasize the role of preaching. We want to elevate. We want to inspire preachers to recommit themselves, if you will, to the actual act of preaching and have confidence and faith that it is the power of God unto salvation.
Yeah. What has caused them to get away from their that confidence in that the power is in the act of preaching, in the preached word of God?
Well, I think, of course, it's a combination of things. It usually is. The pressure from the Christian world. Silly statements like preaching was not part of the apostolic church. It was a later invention from the third and fourth centuries, which is both bad theology and bad history. We have sermons from the 150s that are powerful and effective and could be preached today. In fact, I have preached the sermon delivered by the pastor in Sardis named Melito sometime around 150 AD. It's a powerful and I'd add a oneness message. So sometimes they just get bad information and they unfortunately buy into that. I think also that the nature of the power of preaching is not always instantaneous. And sometimes we forget that the power of the gospel operates maybe not this Sunday night, but over the application of apostolic anointed preaching over time. That's where lives are changed. Certainly we've all been in services that changed us instantly and we were never the same. Most of the time, particularly in the local church, it's the culmination of a commitment to apostolic preaching, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, that brings the result. And sometimes we lose our confidence in that. And we want to have a seminar because somewhere we got the idea, if you teach it right, they're going to start doing it. I don't know where we got that because it's not true. But it is a culmination of apostolic teaching that brings about the light bulb coming on in people's minds. Well, preaching's the same. And as we commit ourselves to that, we reveal the power of God that is in apostolic preaching.
That reminds me of when I spent 7 years youth pastoring in the Dallas area for Brother Richard Flowers. And, of course, when he entered ministry, he worked under Brother Arliss Glass.
Yes.
And he recalled the story, the instance he got a little discouraged when he was working for the Glass. They went several weeks and everything was just dead. Brother Glass got up and preached and altar wouldn't fill up. Nobody respond. And that happened for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. And he got, Brother Flowers got really discouraged. He went to Brother Glass and said, you know, what's wrong? Why aren't people responding? Why isn't, doesn't feel like it's dead in here. And Brother Glass just calmed and reassured him. He said, it's basically that we just keep being faithful and keep preaching the word, and eventually you keep sowing, and there's going to be a harvest. And the flower said, it wasn't another week or two. And Brother Glass got up there and preached, and the power of God just fell, and the altars filled up. The response was, and so he learned at that moment, and I remember him telling me this, that it's that consistency. There's power in that preached word. It will not return void. And we've got to trust that. If this was God's purpose, God's plan, it was God's method, then we've got to trust it's going to work.
I believe that with all my heart. I also think that sometimes, because we're human beings, and one thing I hope we'll do in this podcast is be honest, we sometimes confuse preaching the Word of God with fixing problems from the pulpit. Mm. There's nothing wrong with addressing issues, certainly even naming sin. The Bible does, New Testament does, and we should. But sometimes we preachers, pastors, we get up and address an issue, and maybe we're not harsh. I don't mean that, but we're blunt, we're plain, and we lay it out there. And we think that fixes it. When what fixes it is a consistent application of God's word under the anointing of God preaching. You may not, and we've all done this, you may not even mention the issue that's the issue, but you preach God's word, you preach the truth, and over time you see those issues begin to disappear. You see change come. People's lives are adjusted. While maybe addressing it head on is the will of God, and if it's done with the word of God, we can't trust that because I told them what to do, they're going to do it. But if we preach God's word, it changes the inner man. It changes the heart. And then coupled with consistent apostolic teaching, then that preaching affects the emotional change. And the fact is, the heart is emotion. The head is logic. The head doesn't always govern. In fact, in my opinion, it seldom governs. It's usually the heart. Preaching addresses the heart. And if we consistently apply it, we will see the changes that we're looking for. We do have to sow that seed and trust in the harvest.
And I'm sure we're going to hit on a lot of different aspects of preaching, but that called to mind. I would probably consider, of course, I looked up to you when I was just developing as a preacher, and of course, still look up to you. Thank you. One of the greatest ever. So I would consider both of us as pretty energetic type preachers. We like to yell and scream, and that's just our style.
That's our style.
But I do remember developing as a young preacher and realizing that I kind of would force that a little bit, and my delivery, just kind of out of nervousness and feeling like I had to make something happen with my preaching, that I would start out of the gate 100 miles an hour at just the top decibel level I could reach. And I think part of it was my lack of faith in the act of preaching. I felt like a lot of the pressure rested on my shoulders.
Yes.
Instead of realizing, yes, the power, as we just have been talking about, the power is in the act of preaching and in what we are preaching, in the Word of God. So there are points now I can whisper, and there's such power in that, not because it's my words, but because it's the Word of God. And if we can learn to, and I hope that'll help some young preachers that are listening, because this does not rest on your shoulders. You don't have to make things happen. You need to get in the Word, learn be familiar with what you're preparing, what you're going to preach, digest that, ingest that so much that when it comes out, it's the power of the Word. It will come through your personality, it'll come through your style, but rely on the aspect of it's you're preaching God's word. That's what's going to bring about the change, not your personality. It's going to work. It's going to work through that.
That's right.
But it's the word of God and the preaching that's going to bring change.
That reminds me, when I was a younger preacher, I had the great privilege of being seated beside Nathaniel Urshan on a flight from Boston to St. Louis. And I was determined to make the most of it. So I peppered him with questions, and he was so gracious to entertain my eagerness to learn from him in the little time I had. And I remember asking a question. I said, "Brother Urshan, as a teenager and a young adult, I would attend the Louisiana camp meeting. There was no air conditioning in the old tabernacle. It would be blazing hot. And you would preach for an hour and a half, because that's what everybody did back then. And it would be dead. Nothing would be happening. And you would preach. It didn't seem to affect you. You never got outside yourself. You just preached and preached. But when you gave the altar appeal, people ran to the altar. They poured out of the balconies and ran to the front praying. And I said, "How do you do that?" And he said something I have never forgotten. He said, "Brother Jones, God didn't call me to produce the result. He called me to preach the word. And I have the faith, I've learned, that if I'll preach the word, he will produce the result. So when things don't seem to be going well in a sermon, I tell myself, you're not qualified to decide whether they're going well, because God is working in hearts. So I preach what he gave me with faith and confidence that people are going to respond. And he said they almost always do. So I'm like you. There have been times, and I confess even yet, where I press a little bit because I'm trying to produce the result. And I try to remember that conversation. I'm not called to produce the result. I'm called to preach the word. I think our faith has to be in the preached word of God. Then that changes our whole view about what we're doing and how it works. I agree, you and I both. But you know, neither of us have been accused of being crazy like Paul was.
True.
Because he was so beside himself with passion while he preached. So we haven't got there yet.
Well, I did have a little boy walk up to me after a rally I preached one time. He said, "Was that you up there preaching tonight?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Why were you so angry?"
I had a little girl bring me a drawing she made during church of me, and the face was just a block of red.
Well, I have seen your face turn red before preaching. So
when your blonde hair, blue eye, and light complected, the redness comes with it. But I think there is something to be said. When they got the Holy Ghost, they were accused of being drunk. People don't understand the anointing sometimes and the effect it has on both the preacher and the congregation. And I think we don't really worry about that part of it. But it is not in the volume, and it's not in the rapidity of the speech. Mm-hmm. It's in the power of the gospel. And so we preach God's word, and it will not, I'm glad you mentioned that early on, return void. It has the power. The power of God unto salvation is in the preached word of God. And so when we have confidence in that, that's what makes preaching so important. And that is, of course, what we have in mind when we plan and execute the Urshan Pulpit Conference is to focus on preaching, to talk about its importance and the role it plays in the church. It is a preaching conference. We preach there. That's what we do. But the difference is we preach about preaching. We preach about how important it is and the role it plays and the power that it brings to the church. So I hope everyone will join us for the Pulpit Conference.
I do too. It's for young preachers, seasoned preachers. You've been preaching for a while. You haven't been preaching very much. Maybe you're just exploring the calling of preaching, trying to figure it out. We bring in several people from around the country, apostolic preachers. And I think this year, of course, our bishop, Brother Menard, is going to be there.
Yes.
Of course, Dr. Coltharp, the president of Urshan, always starts off our conference. Brother Michael Enzi. Brother Scott Graham. We also have Brother Wayne Huntley going to be closing it out on Friday nights. It's going to be an exciting time. It is March 13, 14, and 15 of 2024. March 13, 14, and 15. We will have night services on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night at the Sanctuary in Hazelwood. And then we will have some morning sessions on Thursday morning, the 14th, and Friday morning, the 15th, at the Urshan campus. You can find information about the Pulpit Conference at our website, urshancollege.org. You can find the information there and register. I want you to register for the conference, and I want you to plan on being there. It's going to be an exciting time.
It certainly will. We've had some incredible moves of God at the Urshan Conference in the past. And let me mention, registration's free. It just gives us an idea of how many are coming, who's coming, and helps us plan better. So if you'll register, it'll help us out. You will not regret being at the Urshan Conference. God is going to be moving, and preaching is going to be highlighted. So come and be with us.
That's right. That's again, March 13, 14, and 15 of 2024, just a couple months away. Register, be with us. We'll be excited to see you. God bless.